systems are offline.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
The Pat and AJ Podcast.
Well, because they got great banter. They jib-jab, 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 jib-jab.
Pat and AJ.
I feel like the conversation we've been having in the last 5 minutes is a lot more interesting than the shit they're talking about on the radio. Just moronic commentary and stupid sound effects, and it's just dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
It's the Pat and AJ Podcast.
It's the Pat and AJ Podcast.
Labor Day weekend, right? That's like the unofficial
end of summer.
End of summer, although, you know,
unless you live in the Southwest and there's no seasonal change at all.
You're like, so what you're saying is we're going from the oven being on 425 to about what, 325?
Yeah.
Okay. I could dig that. Remember how sad that is though when you live in a cold weather state?
Oh, when it changes. And I heard it's like it's chilly across a lot of the country this weekend. Like it's about 15 degrees
is it really?
Cooler than it normally is for Labor Day weekend.
Fucking not here in Arizona.
No, it's actually under 100. That's an improvement.
I'm at that point now where it's just hot.
It is just hot.
And I'm just like, all right, it'll be less hot later, I suppose.
Sun's going down a lot earlier.
That I did notice, yeah. Yes. Welcome on in, boys and girls. It is the 278th episode of the Pat and AJ Podcast. We appreciate you joining us from wherever you may be on this fine planet of ours, on whatever device it is. Hopefully that summertime did treat you well, except to the folks who live in the other hemisphere. Then hopefully your winter went well. Interesting reply on Instagram from one of the followers. Oh, man, I love the name. Gaytheism.
What is gaytheism?
What do you think? That's this person's
gaytheism. I get it.
Instagram handle.
I get it. Gaytheism.
Gaytheism.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
So you can probably.
I thought it was a word I didn't know.
You
but
can
it makes
probably
sense.
Conclude that they're both gay
yes.
and an atheist. They responded to the effect of, I'm legitimately not trying to hate, but I'm trying to make sense. I was alive during the time, and I remember in the 1900s, Oasis.
The 1900s.
Make it make sense to me that they are right now, today in 2025, selling out stadiums and arenas and bringing the fervor that they're bringing. It's the equivalent of Foghat doing the same thing in the year 2000. With much love, which I think is interesting because anything in the world is subjective value.
Yeah.
I mean, this happened during the Eras tour. We all saw people spend amounts of money that perhaps you think in your mind
are nuts.
To someone else, they're like, this is the value of this experience on my life and I will pay it. And I think for someone right now, if you're, in certain circles, maybe you're being inundated by Oasis stuff because now they've hit the, North America.
Yeah.
They played Chicago, then they're going to New York and then L.A. So I guess if you're not in on it, it's kind of easy then to sit there and be like, can someone make this fucking make sense to me?
Well, yeah, and I felt the same way about the, like you said, the Eras tour.
Yeah.
Trust me, Taylor Swift is, I think she's brilliant. I just don't get into her music. And I know how much people were spending on tickets. I had friends taking their daughters to her shows, and I was like, hot damn, you guys.
You'd never seen a Swiftie's heartbreak more fun. This was so fun. One of my friends is dating a Swiftie, and we were recently at a get-together. And one of the people there had a great story. One of those stories, almost like I had with Oasis, where I magically just got in this Ticketmaster queue and ended up like on the ground level, no fee, regular ticket price. There is a guy there telling this story about how someone in his life essentially did the same thing. Like this guy's like, all right, I'm going to try to get 4 tickets for this Eras tour. Somehow ends up being like that dude, 900 in queue, gets right in, snags the 4 tickets at whatever the face value is of $250 a piece. And then after that, the explosion happens and they balloon in value to $4,000 a piece.
Oh my God, that's nuts.
And you know where this is going. He sold every last one of the tickets, explained to his daughters, here are all the things we get to do because we sold the tickets.
Wow.
Like here, we're going to go to the Wisconsin Dells. We're going to take a trip down here.
Were they happy about that?
I don't know, but watching the Swiftie in the room and their heart break as this person was telling the story, because I could tell they're like, but what about the show? You didn't get to see the show.
So I'm going to take a wild guess that this person who commented is not and has never been an Oasis fan.
Well, as they say, they are of age where they were there in the 1900s.
Well, they were there for it, but that doesn't mean they're a fan.
They were there for it. And I guess if you are an American, if you were there for it, that could just mean possibly one album that kind of produced a bunch of singles.
Yeah.
And then that was kind of it.
Yeah.
They remained like an overseas phenomenon. I don't know, but here was my response. Because I said, I think this is such a legitimate question.
Yeah.
There's no other better way than to describe it. And some things need time to age to perfection. I suppose there's plenty of songs now that are iconic, movies that are legendary, that no one, quote, got or maybe saw in the moment. It's only now when it's in the rearview mirror that they can appreciate it and love it.
It's like a cult classic. It's like a cult movie.
Regardless of why, it seems to be bringing a lot of joy and love to people across the world in a time when it's probably desperately needed.
Yeah.
I thought that was fair.
Well, and I think it's different.
I thought it was a fair question.
It's obviously totally different for Europeans because they were a Britpop band.
Yeah.
So they were, and they were touring more over there. I mean, they dropped by here a couple of times, but as an American Oasis fan, I just relegated myself to the fact that I'll never see them in concert.
You won't see them here. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I'll probably have to go overseas. And, you know, as a kid, you're like, that'll never happen. So
it's a hard run at 17.
And
right?
And it sucks because, like, you know, their music still comes up in my playlists. And I was like, oh, man, remember Oasis? What happened? You know, that really sucks that the guys started fighting and blah, blah, blah. And I think, yeah, and I think it's so much nostalgia. That's a lot of what it is. It's 90s nostalgia. I mean, right now.
You're right in the pocket for that crowd of, yeah. You know, this is the
90s, the crowd that was into this as teenagers now has money to spend.
Yeah, they're in their 40s, yeah. 50s.
And who doesn't yearn for the 90s at this point? My God,
right?
I would love to go back to the 90s. But yeah, I think it's a lot of nostalgia. And it is, it's also, and I've seen this, it is a lot of younger people.
Who never thought they'd get the chance to see him.
No. Younger people who are getting into the band since they found out their parents were into the band.
Oh, retroactively, yeah.
They're like, wow, they're pretty great. I had no idea. Let's go to a show.
They just played Soldier Field in Chicago. I had some friends who were at the show. It looked pretty well. I guarantee you, though, none of them can match the experience we had. No, it's not because myself and AJ saw the show in London at Wembley Stadium. You don't want to hear us talk about that, you braggart sons of bitches. The reason why none of them had the same experience that I had when we saw the show, because none of them, while leaving that show, buzzing with the electricity of what was just presented before you, received a phone call that their English bulldog was in a intensive care unit due to a medical event. And did I mention, by the way, we were in London, and if you're keeping track, we live in Arizona.
He was dying overseas, basically.
That's right, folks. We're bringing out to the saga of Phineas Prime. That's our English bulldog. You can follow him on Instagram. It's Phineas_the_bulldog. And I feel like AJ was always freaked out somewhere in the back of her head about leaving the animals for 2 weeks when we took our big grand adventure over to London and then Ireland.
Yeah, I was.
You were a decent amount. I've always been kind of able to compartmentalize pets at a certain point.
Yeah.
As a little bit below human.
Yeah.
And that's not a slam, but I go, listen, we go on vacation and we figure out care for the dog.
Yeah.
AJ is like the one that's like, well, where's the pet condo where they rub the paws and they have their own tailored room? Like, you always want the best for the fur babies.
I do.
When we're away.
The cats are easy. The cats, I was a little worried about the cats, but I was more worried about the dog because he is, they say bulldogs are like Velcro. They're very clingy, and he is the definition of clingy.
I mean, he's your dog.
He's my puppy.
He's your dog. Yeah. He is clingy to you. So, you know, we arranged to have pet sitters in the home, right? So the animals are not being taken off to a kennel.
No.
My mom used to do that all the time with her dogs. Whenever
we used to do that with our dog Pepper, remember? She would go to a kennel when we would go on vacation. She was fine with that. We just...
And by the way, true story, rest in peace, both of them. My father-in-law, AJ's father, his dog, Rufus, was kicked out of a kennel.
Yes.
They had him put in the kennel for, I forgot what it was.
Like, it wasn't that long.
It was like a weekend, some bullshit family thing. And apparently the dog was too high maintenance for the kennel people. They said he can't come back.
Yeah, he was kind of an asshole.
That's fucking hilarious.
I love that dog, but he was a super jerk.
But so we didn't do any of that. So we arranged to have someone come here and watch the dog, right?
Somebody we know.
Yeah. So we're off on
Pat's fighting with the dog for a sandal right now.
Yeah. Normally our son would do this, but he's not home now.
There's no kid. We'll talk about that later.
This is, that's for a whole nother time. All right. Fucking destructor. Destructor dog.
He loves you.
Okay, so we have someone who's staying here.
He's trying to hump him
now. Oh, I know. Now he wants to play. I'll sit on the floor.
Sit on the floor with him.
And tell this story because it's going to make me.
It makes sense. Now he's humping him.
It'll make me love him more.
He's fixed. He just loves to hump Pat. He really does.
So you arranged for one of your friends to dog sit, cat sit, bird sit, snake sit everybody.
Yeah, we asked like a year ago. We're like, this is a big commitment. If you can't do it, it's fine.
It is. Like, what do you do? But they were able to do that for us. So we're off in London. We're about 3 days into our trip. And we had just seen, as we said, the Live 25 presentation by Oasis. And when I mean we were outside Wembley Stadium, I mean we were literally walking out into a sea of people. You've probably seen these legendary photos of like everyone leaving Wembley Stadium.
Yeah.
We were in that ocean of people and you were kind of just like wigging out. Remember?
I don't have problems with crowds anymore, but this time it was just a bit much. Like it was once, cause you had forward momentum in this sea of people and that was fine. I'm fine being asses to elbows if we're moving. And then we stopped. And that's when I was like, nope, can't do this. Why don't we just step out of this queue right now until it thins out?
Which, by the way, there were plenty of like little pubs, restaurants, apartment buildings.
Yeah, that whole walkway.
There were kind of areas to do other things.
That whole walkway on the way to Wembley, there's restaurants and coffee shops and stuff, obviously.
So we're walking in this, kind of navigating it, you know, okay, maybe we should sit down. We find a little area. You're trying not to look homeless, you know? And we sit down AJ all of a sudden gets a phone call, and I see her taking this phone call, and, you know, I mean, one, I think, all right, is it our son, or, like, who's buzzing her? Because our son, by the way, was back at the hotel.
Yeah, he just chilled for the night.
He opted not to go to the Oasis show, unlike, you know, what AJ just said. There's all these young kids, and they're getting into the band because of their parents. Our son is the opposite. He goes, I hate this band even more now because you guys like it. So you field this phone call. And
do you have your phone with you right now? I feel like I should film you getting humped by the dog while you talk about it.
Listen, do you know how distracted I had to be in broadcasting before? I can do this for like days. So you get a phone call. I'll let you take it over from there. You field this phone call. Boom. Ring, ring. We're outside of Wembley. Yay, good time. Ooh, let's wait to go. Ring, ring, go.
She says, I hate to shit on your vacation. And I swear to God, I knew where it was going already. I hate to shit all over your vacation.
Holy fuck.
She said, Finn had an episode. And I'm like, what do you mean an episode? She took Finn in the car. Listen to him. He's like panting. Now he's panting because he's humping Pat. Whatever. There you go. Bulldog ASMR. Wait, there's more.
tell your story while he breathes into the microphone.
She said he was in the car and basically he exploded. She said he shit, he threw up. It was everywhere. And she said his breathing was weird. And he
is a bulldog, so his breathing is kind of weird all the time.
I know, I have to tell people, I'm like, this is normal. It's okay, relax. He's not hyperventilating. So she said, she goes, his tongue was turning colors and he was having trouble breathing. So she took him to a local fire station.
There you go.
To see if they could help, you know, in the short term. And I guess they put a little doggy mask on him that they had donated like 12 years ago, I guess, and never used.
Like a doggy.
A doggy oxygen mask.
Oxygen mask.
So they gave him oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
And
he needs oxygen now from all the humping.
I know
he's doing.
He does. He's going to need a break after this. He's going to need a cigarette.
He looks like Tony Soprano after he got done with one of his side pieces.
So he had oxygen. And I guess the fire chief, because it was a slow night, cleared it so that they could take him to the veterinarian, the emergency vet, in the fire truck mm-hmm. with the lights on, giving him oxygen.
Okay.
Because from what I heard, and we'll get on this later, but I did get to meet the firefighters who saved him. And they're like, I'm like, what was he like? And they said he was laying on the floor, panting. His tongue was purple. And every time we took the oxygen mask off, he tried to die.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's bad. Okay. Like, I've seen him sick before, but that's bad. So they took him to the emergency vet. And I don't have the paperwork in front of me, but there's like 7 pages of paperwork what they had to do with him. I guess first they had to put him in this little like doggy incubator.
Yeah, it was like a bubble.
Yeah.
Right? Wasn't he in a bubble?
Yeah. And they he still has what we call the bracelets, you know, where they had to shave his two front paws.
Yeah.
They had to put little IVs in him and stuff and give him all this medication. They had him on oxygen. And when my friend called, it was not looking good. And she pretty much said that.
Because I mean, because at some point, and now remember, AJ is getting all this information, and I'm on the other end of nothing. Like, I'm just watching her.
Well, I couldn't put her on speakerphone because I wouldn't be able to hear her.
I mean, it's loud. Dude, we're outside Wembley fucking stadium after the Oasis show, okay? This is like getting out after the Olympics. It was just energy, and it was loud. And so I'm trying to decipher, like, what the fuck is going on in front of me? Because I couldn't tell, and, like, I could tell the eyes glassed over, and the tears started, and I'm sitting there like, what is happening? Now, I feel like it plays into the story. Listen, I had a good time at the Oasis show.
I did too.
I feel like 90,000 people did. Did you hear the number about how they sold like 250,000 pints of beer? Listen, your man Pat was having a good time that evening.
He was, yes.
So I'm in a good space and I'm watching this kind of all like develop in front of me. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And you eventually at one point, you just like kind of go, all right. And you put the phone to me.
Well, because she was giving me so much information and I was so... I was just having trouble like absorbing it.
Go into shock mode?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you go into shock. She gives me the phone. Now this poor girl's got to tell me the whole fucking story again because I don't know anything that she had just told my wife for the last 5 minutes. So she has to give me the whole story again. And to be honest, I thought it was like a rookie homicide detective who doesn't know how to make death notifications. Because a good homicide detective knocks on the door, knock, knock, knock. Hey, Mr. Smith. Yeah, I'm Mr. Smith. Sorry to tell you this. Mrs. Smith is dead. She got into a car accident. That's a pro. Like a rookie, I feel like, goes, Mr. Smith, hi, yeah, you okay? That's a nice hat you have on. Are those shoes new? You never know that they weren't new. Anyway, married? You are married? Well, you were married. Anyways.
Your wife's dead.
So I felt like she was just tap dancing around, and then he
Well, that's what I was worried about. Died, right? I kept waiting for her to stop talking, and I'm like, what if she just ends it with he's dead?
And so like she keeps going and going, and that's where I kind of do my thing. And I go, all right, so where are we at right now? She goes, here, this is where we're at right now. And I said, okay. I think the exact words were, I said, well, we're going to end this phone call right now and we will talk to each other again soon.
Yeah.
And that's it. Boom. Now I have to turn my attention to AJ, who's full blown bawling, crying, right? Understandably, she loves this little meatball next to me, but you know, AJ, she loves fucking every ant. She loves the snake that was just in our pool.
I saved him.
Who was drowning.
Yeah.
She hates snakes, but she can pick them up if they're drowning in our pool and like get them out. But I knew this was going to be, this is not good. Right. So I'm trying to figure out, well, okay, how are we going to manage AJ's emotions? And I kid you not, as we're doing that, and if I can just say, I feel like this, every dude has been in this position. You're at some kind of major or public outing. It could be small, it could be big, right? From the local carnival all the way up to a big concert to whatever the fuck it is. And for whatever reason, you and your girl get into a fight, and I'm just going to totally genderize here, if that's a word, and say, maybe we expect sometimes the female gets a little emotional. And usually there's a guy there, and you silently judge the guy who's next to the crying female. Now, you don't know why, but you just go, I wonder what this fucking asshole did.
That's so funny.
Like, she's having such a terrible night, right?
That like, is such, like, a guy point of view.
It is, because I've seen, like women crying outside of bars, and there's some dude next to her like, oh, my God, Sherry.
Yeah.
And, like, you're always like, oh, what a fucking asshole, yeah. Right? You're like, that guy, whatever he did, he made that girl cry. So now... I'm outside Wembley, and for once in my life, I'm with the girl who's crying, but I am not the reason
you
why.
You are not the reason.
And it was something like, I felt good about that. I said, okay, we can.
Not your fault.
We can like try to manage this, right?
So I sat down against this like this wall on the way to the tube and just lost my shit. Again, we still weren't going to get on the tube anytime soon anyways, but I'm like, I'm like, holy shit, we're the worst dog parents in the world. The dog's going to die while we're here. I'll never see him again. We're going to come home. The house is going to be empty. There's going to be like ashes. Like, this is the worst. We are so far away that by the time we get on a plane, he could be dead already.
And listen,
it was just every bad thought I could ever have.
If you, and I, oh, it's just either you get it or you don't, right? Because there's people who know this show and they know AJ's character and they know how impactful like this is. Because there's someone listening going, well, you know, you can do what you got to do. You got to stay on your vacation, right? There's someone right now that's thinking that. But your ethos, your personality is not that.
No.
Yours was, I literally abandoned a family member, and the family member is going to die now, and it's my fault.
It's my fault, because I left. Because he is a very, very clingy, anxious dog. And I'm like, he probably is just going to give up because we're not there. He doesn't know what's happening. He thinks we abandoned him. Like, what terrible people we are.
So as AJ really breaks down, there is two women who are, you know, generally, I think, have the same idea that we do, which is let's wait out all these people getting on the tube. And let's just have a good time and we'll get on the train after. And they start looking at me and they're doing like the pantomiming thing where they don't want to talk. And because you're like, you know, head in your hands crying. And I look at them and they're like, is she okay? Is she like they're like doing like the, you know, the crying tear thing. Is she okay? And I look and I go, yeah, she's okay. And oh, fuck. Listen, again, I've been partying that night. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't exactly.
He was in a great headspace to take care of me. I'll tell you that. He's got my pen. Hang on.
Okay. You can go chase him down. I'm going to keep going with this. So I had partied a little bit, and I had these two very nice British women who were, you know, biding their time like we were. Now, basically saying, is she okay? Because we noticed that she's crying. And I go, well, okay, listen. So we came here from America, and it's like Mary Poppins. They're like, oh, they came from America. And I go, yeah, I go, my wife's a big fan of Oasis. I said, last year, the tickets came out right around our anniversary, our big 15th anniversary. And they're like, oh, 15 years. It was like a PBS special come to life. So I'm telling them the story, and so then they start like filling in the blank like good people do. They go, oh, so she's sad now that the concert's over.
That was so sweet.
And then that's when I go, okay, not exactly. And this is when I shit you not, because your boy been partying. I'm sitting crisscross applesauce on the ground, just like AJ is, but she's leaning up against this wall. I go to kind of like pivot and go to my left, and I end up doing like the roll back thing, happy baby. And I go, hold on.
You were like a beach ball just rolling over.
And I just kind of steadied myself and I said, so anyways, we just got a call from the person watching our dog. And I guess there's an incident and the dog's in the hospital. And they, oh no! They were the best audience in the world.
These British ladies were the sweetest.
They were the best.
They'll never hear this, I'm sure. But just, I adore you for being so sweet. And, you know, it's even sweeter because they had British accents. So, you know, it's very motherly.
Yes.
And, you know, of course, they were like, you know, this happened to my dog and it ended up being okay. And you're not a bad dog mom and everything's fine. And like,
you'll be okay.
And this was the first time I'm like, I don't think he's going to be okay. But
yeah,
I thought he was dead.
I will tell you right now. I was like, yeah, so we're coming home to a dead dog. I was like, okay. So
we had to make the decision very quickly not to tell our son.
I mean, that's basically what happened. We like pivoted after the very nice Mary Poppins ladies eventually left and they wished us the best of luck. Their husband shook my hand and it was funny because the husband made sure to remind me, yeah, the dog ended up being okay 10,000 pounds later.
Yeah.
I go, oh, fuck me. So
we'll tell you how much the bill was later.
So we sit there, you know, you kind of to the best of your ability, bring yourself to some kind of center calm. And I go, listen, we are on the way back now to our hotel room that we're sharing with our 18-year-old son, who does not handle news like this very well. What do we do? So we sit there and go, we can't tell the kid.
Well, the only time we tell him is if he dies.
Yes.
We do have to tell him.
But only at the end. Like we weren't going to drop it on him.
Well,
like,
no, we didn't decide that.
Well, regardless.
Regardless. We said the only thing time we have to tell him is if he dies.
Yeah, we're like, we do not need to burden him with all this information.
But when we come home, if he's okay, he's going to have the little marks from the IVs. So Dylan will know something's up. So, for about 30-something hours after that. Oh, yeah, and when we finally got on the tube, by the way.
Oh, geez.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was still asses to elbows. It just wasn't nuts to butts.
Yeah.
You know, that was the only difference.
There was this nice British guy that could tell I had been crying, I'm sure. And then we're standing
and
there.
And again, probably looking at me going, what the fuck did you do to make this nice lady cry?
But, you know, we're on the tube, and this guy, this giant dude, jumps on the tube as the door closes and, like, body slams me into the people in front of me. Never even acknowledged my presence, but he wanted to get on that fucking tube to get home from the show. And like, he was so close to the door that he had to suck it in so the door could close. That's how close we were. And I was crying. I think the guy thought that I was upset over the dude that had just body slammed me. And he's like, do you want me to boot him out? Or you can just boot him in the nuts at the next stop. Just boot him in the nuts. He'll fall right off the train. And he was so nice. Everybody was just so nice. But yeah, for the next 30 hours.
Dude, that train ride, can I tell you though, that tube ride from Wembley to Paddington was the tensest tube ride of my life. It's like I'm sitting there looking at my poor wife and she's devastated, shook to the ground. And I'm thinking, holy fuck, how do I, like, I'm just in pure, I'm in crisis management mode, and somehow my client just put their nuts on Instagram Live. And I'm just trying to manage a crisis for someone else and check my emotions about it.
So the next day and a good portion of the day after that, he was still in the ICU. And the next day, like, we were still not out of the woods. Like, we were getting texts from my friend.
So what were we doing? So what were the events?
We went to Abbey Road.
We went to Abbey Road.
Thursday, we all slept in till like almost noon, remember?
Well, because we had planned it that way because we said, all right, we're going to the Oasis show the night before. You're not going to want to get up early the next day and do some royal shit. So give yourself time to like leisurely wake up. And of course, we both come back. We have terrible fucking nights of sleep.
Yeah.
Right? We sleep like a little bit
we
on
both
and
admit
off.
We dreamt of the dog dying.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff.
Both of us. Like, oh my God, it was terrible. You know, so you get some form of shitty sleep and then you wake up and you have all this shit already planned and you have a son who again doesn't know what's going on. So he's like, cool, when are we going to Abbey Road? When are we going to go do this?
So we went to Abbey Road. I think we put on, our son just thought we were tired. He's like, you guys look tired. And to be honest, we were, but that was not the underlying cause of everything. But I think we put on a pretty brave face because when we finally ended up telling him what happened, he was like, I had no idea. Like, you guys hit it really well. But we went to Abbey Road. We had dinner at this place we had reservations for months.
The Devonshire.
Oh, we were so excited about this
place. The hottest restaurant in Soho. You gotta know somebody to know somebody to get a reservation.
We had to make reservations at like 2 a.m. on the dot to get into this restaurant. And of course, nobody really had an appetite except our son.
Right, our son is like ordering the top shelf everything. Like, all right, let's go ahead and fucking tear this place up. I'm barely getting down my food. I'm like, yeah, it's great, isn't it?
I spaced out in the most ridiculous, terrible fantasy world during that dinner because I was facing the window and we were right next to, what do they call it, where they fire all the steaks and stuff?
We were in the grill room at the Devonshire. There's a bunch of different floors to this fantastic pub restaurant. And where we were is where they make their award-winning steaks. And part of their razzmatazz is that they burn whatever the local oak wood or whatever it is. They burn it. They turn it into coals. So basically there's a guy there who's always managing this huge iron that is just burning wood, and he's shoveling out the coals, and he transfers them into like the grill. That's where they make the steak. I mean, it's a whole operation. It's a big show for you to watch.
So we're sitting right next to this thing, and I'm totally spaced out, of course, because our son and Pat and our son were talking. So I'm like, okay, I can have my moment to myself. I see the reflection of the fire coming out of the oven in the window of the restaurant. And my head immediately goes to, oh my God, my dog's going to die and they're going to burn him. And I was just like, holy shit, this is, and I know I'm being like.
By the way, they were not serving dog that night.
No,
we did order.
They were not.
A Wagyu beef ribeye.
My dog wife was not on the menu.
My wife got a lobster.
It was just, but that's how, like.
But it was, yeah.
It was raining that day, remember? It was kind of hard.
It was dreary, and yeah, that sucks. And I kind of have a joke about myself. I said, I have been anxious, or too anxious to eat in some of the best restaurants in the world.
You have.
I know how to get myself a good reservation, and either my own psyche or the world, the universe goes, we're going to fuck this up for you. So I said, okay, I know this. I know this material. So
because of the time change, you know, those two nights we were getting texts in the morning, and you know,
that's like you'd go to bed going, I wonder what the fuck is going on.
Yeah. And God bless my friend. I mean, if anybody was watching my dog when this were to happen, it should have been her. She's a nurse. She's been one of my best friends since first grade. She treated this dog like it was her own dog. And she even, at one point, she's like, can I call you? Like, I need to hear your voice. I'm crying. So she was the right person to be taking care of. She's like, I'm going to go over. He's still humping Pat's arm. She said, I'm going to go over there at like 2 a.m. and check on him. And she really spent a lot of time with him. Finally, on Friday morning, we got like the good news text. Like, he might be out of the woods. He might be coming home later today. And we were going to Windsor Castle that day.
Yes. Remember?
And it was the first time like we could breathe. We were like, holy shit, this might just be okay. I'm like, we're not out of the woods, but we're definitely further out than we were a couple days ago. And sure enough, by the end of that day, she said he was home. He was sleeping on our bed. He was getting his medication. and I don't have the paperwork with me, but oh my God, the paperwork from the vet said anaphylactic shock, pulmonary edema, aspiration. I mean, it was like every bad thing that could go wrong with a bulldog went wrong with him. And they don't know what it was. And I don't think we ever will. And the vet bill was almost $7,000.
There you go. more than vacation, may I say.
Yeah. I said, you guys,
there was a great joke. Quick PS to this. A good friend of the program who we used to work with in central Wisconsin, he was a English native who had moved here to the States. And when he first moved here, he had this really funny story about how, of course, I'm not sure if you heard, we have a little bit different healthcare systems between the U.S. and the rest of the civilized fucking world. But he had a great story about how he was a new man here in the U.S. He suffered a bite from a bat. And after going to a local ER to be treated and getting the bill, he goes, you know, I could have taken a flight back home to England, seen my family, gotten treated at the NHS, and then, you know, had a few dollars over to flush down the toilet.
To
right?
be fair, this is not the same thing. This is veterinarian care.
But you haven't lived until you've been on a vacation, quote unquote, of a lifetime that you've saved.
You guys don't
near
understand.
And dear for.
You don't understand. We strapped down for this so hard for a long time.
Goodness.
And Pat kept saying, I feel like we saved more money than we're going to need, but that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know,
there's nothing wrong with like coming back with a surplus.
No,
right?
I'm like that's fine. And by the end of that first week in London, we had spent about $1,700 in spending money. And that's just food, cabs, all that stuff. And we're like, oh my God, like, you know, but pending Ireland, like we're going to have money to take home. And the rest of that money went to the dogs, yeah, that bill. Go. But
currently being financed at a 0% APR. Introductory rate on a credit card.
Well, yeah, we actually had to, we put everything on a travel credit card that doesn't have any international fees. And we couldn't totally pay it off because the rest of our cash went to the dog. So anyways, this little bundle of joy right now, still, and you've said it, he's worth every penny.
I suppose so.
But he is the definition of that bulldog that ended up costing more in health bills than we paid for him.
They used to say that. They said veterinarians thank God for bulldogs. Yeah. So they help keep them in a business. You know?
He's a pricey little dude. And a lot of people asked about pet health insurance. We used to have it. But they're just like regular health insurance used to be with the pre-existing conditions.
It's just
like
shitty.
Here's the thing.
Regular health insurance.
If he got seen once before he got the insurance for breathing issues, then they wouldn't cover anything for breathing issues going forward.
Didn't we get one surgery covered?
We got
one thing.
The cherry eye surgery was covered, but then we got his soft palate surgery, and they're like, no, we're not going to cover it because he's had breathing problems before. Yeah. And I'm like, well, then I'm not paying you anymore because this is ridiculous. So, I mean, it is what it is. He's here. That's all that matters. We had, oh my gosh, I just love this. My friend, the dog sitter, Jenny, she set up this award ceremony for the firefighters who saved our dog. And she had this little plaque made that is the cutest thing, and I will post it on all of our social media.
I was going to say,
I'll make another post.
A picture of him and all the firefighters that saved his life up on the socials and shit.
Yeah, but I brought him like cookies shaped like bulldogs and fire hydrants, and it was awesome because the vet said if he wouldn't have gotten that oxygen, he would have been dead.
That's
so
crazy.
It was bananas.
Apparently, they wanted a local TV news station wanted to do a story on it. And the local fire chief said no, but it was because he said he didn't want to encourage people to now start dropping off their dogs and cats and shit at the fire department.
Yeah, like if something's wrong, don't take them to the fire department first. And to be fair, this fire department, when I say it's like about, you know, 5 steps from my friend's house, that's how close it was. So, but that was where she took him for an emergency. So regardless, it was a one-off thing, and I'm glad he's here. And, you know, he costs a lot of money, but we love him.
Well, listen, I wasn't there.
It was
there.
A pretty big damn snafu for that trip, though.
Oh, man. Like I said.
I'm like, let's just skip our week in Ireland. Let's go home.
Oh,
like,
she was. She was ready. And again, I was just managing all these people's emotions and feelings because it's kind of like my wives and then my sons who's in the dark. And then, AJ all of a sudden was like, let's just go home and say, fuck Ireland. And, you know, after the amount of money Ireland cost us, maybe
we should have skipped Ireland.
Wouldn't have been a bad
Ireland
call.
Ireland ended up costing us a lot of money.
That's why,
for many reasons.
That's why everyone was laughing with us. They're going, oh my goodness, with this, you guys, when we told you how we broke down in the middle of rural Ireland, right?
Yeah, like, our car broke down.
Yeah. So everyone's like, oh my goodness, how did you? I would have lost my mind. I'm like, none of them knew that we had already gone through like the dog saga the week before. Yeah. So I go, listen, once you get through your dog almost dying halfway around the country as you're outside of the Oasis show.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, I can handle like a busted down car. And this is a cakewalk.
It was crazy. I don't recommend it. 10 out of 10 don't recommend for anybody. But I can tell the dog is he's a little off his game right now because he's fine now. His meds are all done. Yes. We are kind of taking it easy with him.
He has been humping me for about 37 minutes
now. He has.
Now
it's really cute.
Since I've been down here.
He gets so excited with Patty. Humps his arm. He humps his leg. But he no longer has our son here to hump, which I think is upsetting him.
Our son is now a on-campus student at the University of Arizona. Go Wildcats. By the way, one of my friends I saw in Chicago, he said, hey, where's your kid going? He goes, is it ASU? I said, no, it's ASU. It's U of A. He goes, oh, it's U of A. And him and his woman, yeah, go Cats, bear down. I go, what? You guys, you know, fans? And they go, yeah. You go, what do you mean? Apparently, about a year and a half ago, they just wanted to get into college football. So they used a website to generate what team they should be a fan of.
Really?
And it was the University of Arizona.
Well, that's excellent. Good.
So they chose
that.
The Wildcats. But our son moved in.
He moved in, what, the Thursday after we got back? Or like a week and a half
the week
after we got back?
Yeah. We got back on like, what, the 11th?
He moved in the 21st.
Yeah, he was there the 21st. Freshman, I think, move in first.
It was so interesting today because my therapist said, how was move-in day, like itself, like the day itself? And I said, That day was fine because it was just like a rush to get everything into his dorm before our parking permit expired.
It is a coordinated effort. I mean, I never.
It was not a clusterfuck at all. And I thought, and a lot of people were like, oh, were you one of those people that was like in the coffee shop waiting for their turn to get into the dorm and standing in line? And I'm like, no, it was actually really organized.
I was
going to
say, we just kind of pulled up and.
You had a 30-minute window.
Got our shit out and went, right?
To unpack their dorm. Then you had to move your car and just come back and, you know, actually help them unpack in the dorm. But I told my therapist, I'm like, the day of was really no big deal. It's been every day since then. That has been super weird.
Empty nester is what they call it. I mean, or is that when they're officially like gone? Because he's coming back.
We're empty nesters.
Right?
We're empty nesters. He's out of the house almost all the time. I mean, I'll tell you, he has had no desire to come home at all.
Yeah, right.
He had one day, but it wasn't even to see us. It was to watch a pay-per-view for wrestling.
It was a means to an end. Which is funny because they did prep us. You know, there's so much stuff for parents when your kids are going to the university and they have all these little, you know, whatever, workshops, TED Talks. You want to sit there and talk about something. And I remember specifically one of them was like, what are you going to do the day you get the phone call?
That first teary-eyed phone call.
The teary-eyed crocodile, I want to come home, I can't do this, which, by the way, we got.
Yes, but not for those reasons.
No, not like homesick type shit,
he was overtired and hadn't eaten, and he was disappointed by something that day, and it all just kind of came to a head. But it wasn't like, I need to come home, I can't do this. It's like, I'm pissed about something, I'm also hangry and exhausted. That's kind of what it was.
AJ is like a typical mother now. She taught, which by the way, I've already figured out who the appoint person is, and that's AJ.
My mom.
He is not reaching out to me. The kid's been out of the house now for like a solid, what, week? A little bit over a week. You are, like, it started off the first day.
He was actually calling you more the first couple days.
He was, and then all of a sudden, like, boom. Now it's like, I wake up to the Dylan report from my wife. She already knows everything. She's like, oh, he's going to do this today. He did that yesterday.
It was so cute, you guys, because I left early the day we moved him in because I asked for the day off work and I didn't get it. So I had worked from 1:30 to 9:30 in the morning and then moved him in at 11 a.m. And by like 3:30, I'm like, I think I'm going to die. Like, it's so hot and I'm so tired.
It was hot.
And you were like, okay, well, I'll wait for him to come back from his meeting and then just, you know, say goodbye. Pat ended up staying for like another 3.5 hours.
I was there for a long time.
He set up Dylan's dorm, like all the electronics. He kind of organized stuff for him while our son was at this new student meeting.
You're welcome.
It was so cute. And he's like, well, I didn't have this experience in college. Neither of us lived in a dorm.
Well, I didn't, but it was very reminiscent. I lived in the next best things to dorms, which was just shitty apartments.
Oh, well, yeah.
With like 10 other people. But I then got into a business where I lived in a string of shitty apartments across the country. So I kind of had a weird muscle memory from the radio days of just getting shit out of boxes and getting it on the wall, getting it in the closet. And if you have a TV, boom, 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 boom. I always went by order of importance. Like, I swear to Christ, I moved all across this great country of ours and I'd show up in new towns, whether it's South Bend, Indiana, or Salt Lake City, or Milwaukee. And literally the first shit I would get, I'm like, all right, entertainment center, let's get that over there.
Yeah.
TV, let's put that TV right there. All right, DVD player right there. And so I went in my same boyish pocket. I'm like, all right, let me get my son's TV set up.
And, it was so cute. You know, I was so proud of him. And it was just adorable how proud he was of like setting up our son's dorm.
Yeah, I mean, one, for the obvious, not like I had a dad around doing that stuff. And when I did move out of my home at 18, it was very, not traumatic, but I was more like running away from the home at 18. So mom didn't exactly support nor help.
She wasn't
going to
come help you set up your apartment.
Yeah, so I had never had that opportunity. So yeah, it was kind of weird for me to help him get set up. And, you know, it's cool. It's an adventure. And I guess now he's on it, right?
He's on it. It's definitely strange. Just the house is weird. It's
quiet.
It's especially weird, and this kind of goes back to the dog, because Pat has started a job. He still has his own practice, but he started a job 3 days outside of the home per week at a professional practice. And so he's gone 3 days a week from 8 a.m. till about 6:30 p.m. And when the dog was dying, I thought, are you telling me that my son is about to move out, my husband is about to start a new job out of the house, and my buddy, my little right-hand man, my beefy little boy over here is going to be dead, and I'm going to be fucking alone? Get the hell out of here. I can't handle it.
Yeah, I did think about that, not going to lie. Back when the dog we thought was dying, I said, oh, fuck. I said, I'm not quite sure we have the right amount of milligrams of antidepressants in the home to get my wife through a period where her son
moves out.
Her dog moves out. And by the way, I'm not even going to get into her like recent traumas of the last year or two. Holy balls. I said, this is not about to happen. And good Lord, the dog is here.
He is my little right-hand man.
But the child is down the road. But let me tell you something.
He's about 30 minutes away.
And I know I'm not preaching anything new here to any modern day parent, but you just got to understand the way we have grown up, our child has kind of been, not because we had a leash on him, within a stone's throw of us for most of his life.
Yeah, right. He's been the center of our universe.
Right. We didn't have a wanderer. We didn't have one with, you know, this infrastructure of friends where they're always out.
Or a big family. I mean, we didn't live near family.
Family, right? It's been us.
It's been
three.
The three of us.
So I know as I say this next part, everyone who's been in that world, like, well, duh, we've been doing that since they were like 11. The amount, especially in the first few days, that myself and AJ were sitting there checking that find my person.
Find my iPhone.
On the iPhone.
Find my location.
Because, like, we used to, I mean, we're all, you know, following each other, whatever it is, sharing our locations with each other. And we used to use it more for, like, practical shit.
Yeah, like, oh, are you on your way home? I'll start dinner.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Or are you coming to pick me up? Yes, I'm here.
But we've always been in the same place, right? Like, whenever you tap the thing,
we're all in the house.
All the dots are in the house, right? So I noticed the first couple days, either I would be doing it or AJ would be doing it. We'd have up the thing and we're like, oh, he's in a storm.
Oh,
he's on the move.
It was even fun. Yeah, he's on the move. That was even the even funnier part. We're like, where's he going?
Oh, it looks like he's at that band practice tonight. Oh, okay.
He went to like everything the first few days, like every student, everything they had.
They
for
have a lot
students.
Of shit for him, man.
Yeah, he went to every single thing. And even tonight, like I haven't physically talked to him today. I just said, hey, dude, how you doing? He's like, I'm good. I'm killing time to the game. He is at, the day we're recording this, the Arizona versus Hawaii State football game. It's the first home game of the season. Because when I say that the stadium towers cast a shadow over his dorm.
Yes.
He can walk about probably 50 steps and get into the stadium.
He is close to the stadium.
So he went to a pre-party.
Yeah, there's
He went to this pre-party for a couple hours and now he's at the game.
Yeah, there's a promoter in the state that me and AJ to go to all their, we go to a lot of their electronic events and it turns out, yeah, like anyone else, they're doing other stuff, including these college tailgate party. So they got a couple like, you know, the younger college artists out there breaking new artists performing. I'm like, it's like a whole to do.
Yeah. And I mean, it was like, hey dude, you know, go check it out. If you don't like it, walk back to your dorm. It's right there. And he's out tonight, like out and about.
You watch him like go around. It's funny. He hit me up the other night and I go, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I just went shopping. I go, oh, what'd you go shopping for? He goes, you know, some essentials. Got some ice cream, French bread pizza. I got a Fanta as well.
Did he get anything like formidable, like that could actually be of like nutrition?
I mean, that bread in some sense of the form, I suppose, is food.
I'll give him credit. He's been forgetting to eat, which has been a lot of his problem. Like he's just, what did he text you?
He just texted me right now. He said, checked into my seat, got a good spot. There you go.
He should be saying thank you because we bought him the ticket.
You bought him the ticket,
well,
right?
I was like, if it's about, because he's like, I don't know where to get a ticket. And I'm like, I'll fucking buy you the ticket. Just go. Like, it'll be a good bonding experience for you and your school. But I give him credit. He's out there and he's doing it. And we are walking around the house naked so much more often.
We can't bang. I mean, we can't bang yet because the dog won't let us. That's a whole nother podcast for maybe next week.
Yeah, we'll do that next week.
Eventually, how do we train Finn so we can fuck?
Yeah.
From Finn to fuck. Breaking Finn to fuck. Maybe that could be the name of the episodes.
Come here.
But he is for, you know, we were kind of like, how's this going to go? I suppose no matter who you are, you wonder if your child, how will this attempt at, you know, hopping out the nest go for him and to watch him kind of flutter his, I mean, he's getting schoolwork done, saying, hey, I got this done. Hey, I got that done.
It's so funny. I told my sister, she's like, oh, how is it? And I'm like, oh, well, you know, it was, I think 2 days after he moved out, I'm like, I cleaned his room. And she took that to mean that I cleaned out his room and made it into like an office or
like
something.
Like an Airbnb. Yes.
And I was like, no, he had stale grapes and old soda cans in there. I had to.
You literally cleaned the room.
I cleaned his room's exactly the same, except the bed is made with clean bedding and there's no trash on the floor. Like, that's what I meant. We're keeping it the same. But like, that's weird because my office is across from his room and not having him in there is bizarre for me.
Very quiet, huh?
It's weird that his room is always clean.
Yeah.
Pat complimented on, we have this, our second bathroom was basically his bathroom. And Pat noticed because I cleaned the bathroom up. He's like, wow, it's like a hotel now.
Looks all nice.
There's no clothes on the floor. There's no retainers, no razors, no freaking toothbrushes, toothpaste stuck to the counter.
I feel like I'm living in a fancy house all of a sudden.
It's weird too, because like there's no food in the house. Like,
I was going to say, yeah, the food we have in the house is a lot less, but it's because I think I figured it out. He was the one eating all.
Yeah. I mean, so, you and I are kind of dieting right now. How much? And give yourself credit. How much are you down?
Down 20 pounds.
Good for you.
Thank you. No shot, by the way.
No shot.
Not
we're
that I'm
shit.
I'm not shit talking people that do, but everyone now assumes that this is old fashioned starving yourself and going to the gym.
Yes.
But I officially hit the 20.
And because 20 I'm a mark. Woman and unlucky in life, I am down only 12 pounds. But
not
I'm
bad,
still,
though.
I'm very proud of that.
Not
and
bad.
We're still going. So in general, we don't have like junk food in the house.
Which is good. Yeah.
But we also realized like we're not planning dinners. We don't have snacks in the house. Like there's not even like bottled water. We're just like,
we couldn't even come up with something to do today.
Do you know what
we were sitting there last night and she's like, well, what do you want to do tomorrow? And I go, I don't know. I'm like, there's nothing to do. She's like, yeah, there is nothing to do.
So Pat goes, let's go to Costco. And I'm like, well, we can't really afford a big Costco shopping trip this week. And he goes, well, no, let's just go get gas. I need Costco gas.
That's it. Just need gas.
And then we went out for tacos after.
I go, damn, we're those old people now. You can go out, get gas.
It's so weird, though.
Get a discount lunch.
With Pat and Dylan being gone, like when I wake up from my afternoon nap, because I sleep middle of the day with my work schedule, usually when I wake up, somebody is about in the house doing something. Now I wake up and all the animals are in bed with me. Everybody's sleeping. There's not, you could hear a pin drop in this house and nobody moves. No, I'm like, if there's going to be noise in this house, it's because I have to get up and do something. Like, that is weird to me. It very much, I'm like, I'll just stay in bed because I'm sad now, but I don't. Because, you know, life, I have to do life.
Yeah.
But I will say the only thing I am enjoying is like, it's not like we cook naked, but like if you got to run into the other room because like you forgot your robe or your pajamas or something, butt naked, you can do it and it's okay.
It is nice to see her flopping out every now and then.
I don't care. I mean, I don't care anymore. But yeah, again, it's not like we're watching movies on the couch naked.
I mean, I am kind of like a toddler now. I just come home and just take off my pants.
He does end up in his underwear.
And I take off my shirt and I just walk around in my drawers now. So that's, you know, thank you, son, for that. Thank you for going off to school so I can walk around like I'm 3 years old again.
You know, to all the with parents out cup, there who are going through this weird phase.
Yeah.
We are with you. It is bizarre.
Embrace it.
It is hard as a mom because you feel like part of your identity as a mom is gone. Your child's childhood is over, essentially. It is very weird to come to grips with that. So for any moms out there who are going through that right now, I get it. You're trying to find a sense of purpose. You're trying to find your new normal. I feel you. It's hard. I have no advice because I'm going through it too. It's just hard. It's okay.
I mean, just work hard on transitioning your role into mothering. My balls.
Oh, bro!
That's what needs mothering now.
You're disgusting.
This is what we've needed.
You need mothering.
The Pat and AJ Podcast Network is available on all your favorite audio platforms. Subscribe today. Follow Pat and AJ on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook now at Pat and AJ. PatandAJ.com. Support the Pat and AJ Podcast Network today by donating on Venmo or Cash App. Powered by the people. The Pat and AJ Podcast Network.